Okay, we're up to Daniel, the end of Daniel, Perek Base, Pasuk. Let's start. Let's go back to the Pasuk, get Aleph. Care to the last Pasuk, but I want to go over the Rashi, go over the Cheshbon in a little bit more detail. So Pasuk Yud Aleph says, Umeis Husar HaTamid, from the time that the Tamid, many people in the previous Pasuk mentioned that throughout history, many people will attempt to make a calculation to figure out when the Gula will come, to figure out the Kates. And here, the Malach Gavriel tells Daniel, I'll tell you exactly when it's going to be. Me'eis Husra Tamid, V'losei Shikut Shemeim, from the time when the Tamid will be removed and to be replaced, and the Tamid is removed and is replaced with the Shikut Shemeim, it will be Yamim, it will be years. We're going to translate the word years. Elef, 1,000 Masayim V'sishim, 1,290. Ashrei HaMechakev Yagia, fortune is the one who yearns the Yagia and reaches Perek Yud Beis, Pasuk Yud Beis. Ashrei HaMechakev Yagia, fortunate, praiseworthy is the one who yearns. Mechakev means to hope, tikva, to wait. Liyamim elef, to the days, to the years of 1,335. Now let's see first the mitzudos, and then we'll see the calculation that Rashi reviews, which pretty much is a summary of what Rashi said in Perek Ches. But let's just first see the mitzudos and pasuk yud aleph. Umeis gam ela divrei hamalach shamalai loymen ois asher nispatel hatamid. From the time that the Talmud came to men during the time of the Bayis Sheni, the Nigzar law says, hamikdash es hamishukatz umishusok, then from the time when the Talmud came to men and was replaced by an avodah zara, that is horrible, that is detestable, and is silent like a stone, yamim rotzolaymar. Minho e sahi mona yom elef, there will be a calculation of 1,290 ms. So here the mitzudos presents two opinions. We do not know im yom im mamish, if the word yom here means days, or it means oishanim, or it means years. Umay yihye oz, and what will happen at that point in time. So he's presenting the opinion of the Ibn Ezra that yamim means 1,290 days, which is approximately 3.5 years, which means that for 3.5 years the Tamid will cease. And that means, according to that approach, that 3.5 years before the Churban, for the last 3.5 years, there will not be a Korban Tamid. But how does that translate into the words 1,290? It's not clear, because that's a little bit more. It's not an exact number. It doesn't work out exactly. 365 multiplied by 3.5. So it's questionable exactly what that means. And furthermore, that we know that the Talmud, we have a tradition that the Talmud came to an end on Shiv Asa B'Tamuz. So Shiv Asa B'Tamuz, the Tisha B'Av, the Beis HaMikdash was destroyed on Tisha B'Av. And between Shiv Asa B'Tamuz and Tisha B'Av is only 3 weeks. It's not 6 months. So it's not clear what this means if we interpret this in reference to days. It's seemingly not referring to the time of the Churban, it's referring to some other point in time.
Rashi
learns it means years. So according to Rashi, it means years, and doesn't mean 3.5, years, it means actually years, and then we have no difficulty. We have the tradition from that on Shiva Asa B'Tamuz, five things happened on Shiva Asa B'Tamuz, two of which were the Shreifa Satoira, and the Torah was burnt by Apostamus, and the Talmud was bottled. So that,
years, right?
What? So according to Rashi, Rashi's tradition is 6 years. Rashi clearly on Perek Ches said he does not have a source for this. And we'll see a little bit more now in the Rashi coming up soon. He has no source. This is just a tradition that he has, that it was 6 years. So 6 years and 3 weeks, obviously. 6 years and 3 weeks before the Churban Bayis Sheni, the Tamid was batel. And counting from that moment in time, from Shiva Asa B'Tamuz, 6 years and 3 weeks before the Churban Bayis Sheni is when we're going to make this calculation of 1,290 years, according to Rashi. The Mitzvah seems to mention that from the time of that, let's assume that Shiva Asa B'Tamuz, sometime before the Churban Beis Hamikdash. We're not exactly sure how many years. If we go forward from that moment in time, 1,290 days, a very significant event will happen. And this being told to Daniel about 500 years in advance, 450 years in advance. And he's telling him the Talmud's going to come to an end at some point in time on Shivas B'Tamuz. Calculate from that moment on 1,290 days, and something very significant will happen. Again, it's not clear. We do not know. Over here, it says over here that we do not know the Mitzvah is going to be Ezra. We do not know what that's going to be. Then the next pasuk says, Ashrei Mechakeh. So the Mitzvah says, Ashrei L'mi Shemechakeh Lo. Fortunate and praiseworthy is the person that yearns for this event, the Agia Eleha, and will be there, will reach, the Malach telling him 450 years in advance. Fortunate is the person that will exist during that time, or according to Rashi, meaning when these days, these years will come to an end. The Choyzeh Mefarish HaTikva BeHagoha HaTikva BeHagoha Yihya Liyamim will be for days, the tick for the hope, the end that the person is yearning for is what's going to occur at this point in time. The Gamzel lo yadanu kimo. We don't know what this means. We don't know what it means over here, the next pasuk, 1,335. In addition to what's going to be after 1,290, there's going to be something else at 1,335, which we do not know what's going to be. The Im Daniel amar shamati v'lo yavin, if the Daniel said that I've heard v'lo yavin, the Amalach heshivu sisumim chasum hadvarim, the eich im kain nedom anachnu. So the Mitzvah says that if Daniel doesn't know what it means, and Daniel complained to the Malach, and the Malach said, I don't want you to know what it is. I want it to be stumim v'chasumim. So therefore, the Mitzvah says, how do we expect, how foolish can we be to expect that we're going to figure out exactly what these numbers mean, what all of these events mean? Okay, so therefore, the Mitzvah really, really, he puts everything in the proper perspective. Let's see Rashi. Rashi goes through the calculations. Rashi did put dates. Rashi says he knows what it means. Rashi, not like the Mitzvah, he says he knows what it means. And according to Rashi, it's the year 1354. We'll go over it right now. In the year 1399, that's 45 years later. 45 years later, that's, we have two numbers here in this pasuk. Pasuk Yud Aleph tells us the number 1,290. Pasuk Yud Beis presents the number 1,335. And according to Rashi's calculations, those two numbers correspond to the years, the secular years of 1354 and 1399. What happened in those years? I don't know. But we're still here. That we do know. unless we're dreaming. Hayinu kecholmim. But those years that passed, Rashi was safe. Didn't get into any trouble by saying that because Rashi lived 250 years before, so he was scot-free. Rashi was brave because most of the Gedolim who made predictions in their lifetime. They made in their lifetime a couple of years ahead, and then they made predictions in their own lifetime and it didn't go. So, I mean, if you make a prediction past your life expectancy, you're safe. But let's see what happens. Let's give you Rashi. Rashi reviews. This is a very short review. It's very, very similar to what Rashi said in Perek Ches. Let's see, Pasuk Yud Aleph. Me'esus Ratamet. Kidei lo se shikus mishoymeim tachtov. From the moment of time when the Talmud will cease and will be replaced by an Avodah Zarah, there will be how many days? Yomim, years, according to Rashi, Elef, 1,000, Mosayim, 200, Vesishim Shana, the Rashi Teva says, Emes, Me'eretz Titzmach, Aleph is Aleph, Mem is Mosayim, and Tav is Tishim. Shana, So Rashi here makes don't make no mistake about it. Rashi is not like the Mitzvah that says, oh, maybe means days, maybe means years. Rashi is explicit, shana, years. Hain, they are, miyoyim husa tamid, from the time the tamid ceased, at sheyoshev, until it will return. Until the tamid will when Mashiach comes, b'mei Mashiachenu, our Mashiach. V'cheshbon zeh, Rashi, wait a minute, what are these numbers here? What are these numbers doing over here in Perik Yud Beis, when we had in Perik Ches a number 2,300 plus the word Erev Uboker, which equals the gematria of 300 of 574. So how do we make sense? How do we what's going on? What do these numbers mean relative to 1,290, 1,335? But in Parakhes there's a number 2,300, and there are these mysterious words Erev Uboker, which we've used according to Rashi as a gematria for the number 574. We've added 574 to 2,300 to give us 2,874. So what over here is going on? So Rashi explains. The Cheshvan Zeh Mechuvan is exactly the same Cheshvan Erev Uboker Alpayim Ushlosh Meos 2,300 that we learned in Parakhes. Now what does that mean? That number of Erev Uboker Alpayim Ushlosh Meos is beginning at a very early point in our history. Miyoyim Golusam L'Mitzrayim, the time that we went into exile. The time that we descended to Mitzrayim Ad Geula Acharon, until the ultimate Geula, until what Rashi is going to say means the year 1399. Golus Mitzrayim, how long were we in Egypt for Mosayim the Eser, 210 years. We were supposed to really be there for 400 years. But Hashem had rachamim upon us. We went on early. From the time they left Egypt at Binyan Beis Bayis Rishon was Arba Meos Ushmoinim, 480 years. 40 years in the desert and 440 in Eretz Yisrael until the Binyan of the Bayis Rishon. The days of the Bayis Rishon, the tradition is Arba Meos for Eser, 410 years. Golus Bo, we were in exile for 70 years. Yimei Bayis Sheni is a round number. He's going to deduct the 6 in a moment. Was Arba Meos Yeshem, 420. Hare, if you add all that together, Hare Elef, add all those numbers together, 1,000. The Chamesh Meos, 500. The Sishim, and 90. 1,590. However, you have to deduct, you have to subtract 6 from this number, because even though the bias did go all the way until, the bias did go until 420 years, but the Talmud came to an end 6 years before. The Talmud Husar Lefnei HaChorban Sheish Shanim. Nowhere is there a source for this. 6 years. Hare, that means miyom golusam limitzrayim ad husra tamid elef, 1,000. The chamesh meos, 1,000. In all those numbers, 1,500 meos ushmonim v'arba, and 84. And from that day onward, we're going to add what it says here in this pasuk, 1,290 MS. We're going to 90. So when we add these two numbers together, 1,584 plus 1,290, Hosef Aleim Elef, 1,000 Mosayim 200 Vetishim. What's the total from the time of Yitzias Mitzrayim until the Geula Hasida? Hare Alpayim 2,000 Chesmeos 800 Veshivim Vidal 74. Where does that number come into play? Oh, that's exactly what it says in Parakhes. Parakhes, it says Erev Uboker 2,300. Kiminyan Erev Uboker Bigamatria. Erev Uboker Bigamatria is Erev Boker together.
No Vav.
Doesn't say Vav in the past. The past does not say Vav. Erev Boker together is 574. Alpayim Gimel Meos 2,300 for a grand total of 2,874. So Rashi here, the end of Daniel, takes all of the numbers that appear in Daniel. Basically, the only place where numbers really appear explicitly is in Perek Ches and in Perek Yud Beis. He takes all these numbers, puts them together. Basically, we said like basically there are four numbers. The four numbers 1290. What do you say, Pilato? 1290 and 1335. And those by the way, one important thing I have to point out is that we're not counting the number 1335. This number of 2874 takes us to the year 1354. That is the number here in the Pasuk of 1290. You have to add another 45 to get to the number 1335. That's the next Pasuk. The Aschalta, the Gula, is a process of 45 years, which starts after 2874 years from the time that we went down to Mitzrayim, which is 1290 years from the time of the Bittul HaTamid. That's the Aschalta, the Gula. The Gula process will go through a 45 year process, which will take us to the year 1399, which is when it will conclude. Ashrei Hamke, that concludes this calculation, but we have to also remember there's another number that appears in this perek, and in perek Zayin, not perek Tes, of Edon, the Edonin, the Chatzi Edon, which corresponds to what it says this pasuk Moed, Moadim, Vochetzi, and that number is equal to the number 1290. That's what we learned yesterday. 800 represents the Edon, the Edonin. Well, I'm sorry, that represents the big number. Edon is 480, because that was the amount of time that the Jewish people, from the time they left Egypt, Yitzias Mitzrayim, until they built the Bayis Rishon, was 480. Edonin is the second time, 410, the Tekuva of the Bayis Rishon. Vachetzi, add up those two numbers, 480 plus 410, to give you a grand total of 890. Divide that by 2 to give us 445. Add that together for a total of 1335. One more time. Edon is the time since they left Egypt until they built the Bayis Rishon, which is 480 years. Edonin, the second time period, which is equivalent to the word Moadim in Perek Yudbeis, is the Tkuv of the Bayis Rishon. How long did that last? 410. Take those two numbers, 480 plus 410, a grand total of 890. 480 plus 410 is 890. Now it says Vochetzi, or Chatzi Edonin. Take that number, 890, divide it by 2, 445, add 445 to the total of 890, and we get the number 1335. 1335 is the Soif Gula, is the Gemar Gula. So what's very interesting is, and point out, is that here, in Perek, there are two Perokim, going backwards. Perek Zayin, Perek Ches. In Perek Ches, when it makes the calculation, Erev Boger, 2,300, for a grand total of 2,874, that's a Remez, Aschalta de Geula, the beginning of the Geula. When Perek Zayin, the previous Perek, says, Edon, the Chatzi Edon, the Edonin, the Chatzi Edon is a Remez for the Sof Geula. Okay, so that's a very interesting point. All the numbers are coming together. And here, in the end of the Neil and Perek Yudbeis, we have everything. We have Aschalta de Geula, we have the Sof Geula, and we have also Moed, Moadim, and Vochetzi, which is also Remez to the Sof Geula. So all of these numbers, they all merge together, and that's Perek Zayin, Perek Ches, and Perek Yudbeis, where everything in Perek Yudbeis is everything. You find everything together, all those three together, and Perek Zayin, Perek Ches is, you have parts, and we put everything together. One part is Aschal de Geula, and the other part is the Sof Geula. Okay,
Is it possible that we could be talking about the Zman of the second Beis HaMikdash, which was won around 586, is it?
The second Beis HaMikdash was destroyed, BCE, before the Common Era.
Right.
Yeah.
Okay. And if we add those two numbers that we just got now, 700, whatever, we come come close to the year 6000, which is the Zman of Geula.
Okay, I don't know. There are modern day calculations. I'm not familiar with them. There are different Gedolim which have made calculations. I don't know. Possibly. There are many different approaches. We spent some time when we did Perek Zayin, Perek Ches. We spent some just on the ideas, the variables of how you would make these calculations. We're just learning very simple, like Rashi, basically Rashi. So what we're doing, we're learning like Rashi, the basic gist, the basic numbers, and we've said from the Ramban. The Ramban really opens up a whole new idea into these numbers. When it says here the Aschal de Gula does not mean Nesa the Gula will come. It means now is the earliest Zman that it can come. That it can happen. In other words, until a certain period of time, it's a gzera milafanai. It's a gzera for Kadosh Baruch Hu. There has to be galus. Galus serves a purpose. We don't know what the purpose is. It refines us. It causes the goyim to become aware that there's a klal Yisrael. There's a Kadosh Baruch Hu. Being that the fact that a Jew lives on the dal kanfas aretz, that's a wake up call to non-Jews. Non-Jews, what is this guy? He wears a yarmulke. He eats kosher. Yes. What is this? He's Jewish. What's a Jew? They believe in God. What's God? The fact that we are the conscience of the world. The Jewish people, the fact that we exist and we're found in different locations and people come in contact with us, serves a purpose for our Kadosh Baruch Hu, which is beyond our understanding. It serves a purpose for us as well, that somehow by going into Golus, that refines, that perfects us. We don't know how these things work, but according to many of the Farshim, there's a tkufa that God, there's a tkufa where Mashiach cannot come until a certain point in time. There are things in this world that are larger than us. I saw this in this last week's parash, Parash Vayigash. Parash Vayigash, we find over here the Shiftei Ka, Yaakov Avinu, they went to Mitzrayim, they went to Golus. So you would say, why didn't Hashem create a miracle where in Canaan there would be food, Yaakov Avinu would have what to eat, and the Shvatim would have what to eat, they wouldn't have to go to Mitzrayim to Golus. We're dealing over here with the most holy Jews. People today have trouble with Parnas. They go to Gedolim, they ask for miracles, some lives, and I need Parnas. They have these expectations that we should have, that a person should have all of his needs provided for. So if there's anyone from whom that their needs would be provided for in an easy and comfortable way, we would expect Yaakov Avinu, who milanu gadolim Yaakov Avinu, the father of Klal Yisrael and his children, the Shiftei Ka. Yet it doesn't go like that. Yaakov Avinu had to go down to Mitzrayim. His children had to go down to Mitzrayim. They had to suffer. They had to go through this process. Why? There are things in this world that are larger than the individual. No matter how great the individual is, Yaakov Avinu, there's no one greater than Yaakov Avinu. He's the third of the Avos. It doesn't matter. That's the way Hashem made the world. There are things that have to happen. There has to be a famine. There has to be some tkufa of galus, no matter what. So, likewise, we have galus. So, we'll do tshuva. Klal Yisrael will do tshuva before the year 1354, and they'll bring gu'ul in the time of before the Crusades. Not necessarily. There is a tkufa that has to play itself out. There has to be this period of galus of this period of time of 1,290 years. We explain from the Ramban a very beautiful approach because the Klal Yisrael were lived in Eretz Yisrael for 1,289 years, and during that period of 1,289 years, they angered Hashem. There was always some degree of sin. There was avodah zarah. There were imperfections within the makeup of Klal Yisrael, and Hashem says there has to be a galus corresponding to the time that you were living in Eretz Yisrael. Okay, so there must be 1,290 years. Now it first begins the possibility that we are rohi for geula. And does that mean it's going to happen on day one? No, of course not. Now it's a new kufa where things, there's potential. Potential, it takes also time to develop your potential. The world at that point in time, according to Rashi, changed. Things began to happen which were now taking us closer to the geula, taking us closer for us to develop our potential to bring the geula. Doesn't mean Mashiach has to come bo bayom on that specific day. Things are now roi to come. Okay, let's just finish up the next pasuk. Now we hear Asher HaMechaker. Now Rashi points out what's this meaning of this next pasuk. Pasuk Yud Beis, where it says it's going to be 1,335, which is the 45 additional years, which also makes sense of the Idun, the Idunim V'chitzi. What is this all about? Arboim V'chameish Shanim Noisafim. An additional 45 years. Al Cheshbon HaElyon, on the previous Cheshbon, Sha'asid Meshichenu Lehischasois. He will disappear. Melech HaMashiach will come, conceal himself for 45 years, achar shenigla, after he reveals himself, the Yashuv, the Yiskala, and he'll reveal himself. Where do we find such a thing? Such a bizarre thing that the Mashiach is going to come and disappear? We find this in Medrash. I believe I saw somewhere that this refers to the second Mashiach, according to some approaches. There's Mashiach ben David, Mashiach ben Yosef, and then Mashiach ben David. So the first Mashiach will reveal the difference between the first Mashiach, Mashiach ben Yosef, and Mashiach ben David will be 45 years. This Pesach Haftorah, you had about the two staffs of Yosef and Yehuda. Mashiach ben David will be Echad, will become one. These two Tkufas, 45 years in between Mashiach ben Yosef and Mashiach ben David. V'chein motzinu b'medesh rosh, v'chein yo, we find this in Medesh Rosh. It says Medesh Rosh, I'm not exactly sure where, that there's going to be a gap between, I don't know if it says the number 45, maybe it's a Kuvit. I mean, from Rashi, Pasuk, Yubes.
The Chay. 45.
It says 45 in Rus? Explicitly 45? Could be.
I know, I've seen it.
Okay, good. The Chay, Yosad, Rabbi Eliezer HaKalir. The Kalir, he writes this where? Besiluk Yoitzer Parshas HaChodesh, towards the end of the Yoitzer's on Shabbos Parshas HaChodesh. Now he doesn't say there the number 45. He says there the number 42. He says there 7 times 6. 7 Shavuos, which is 42. So he explains, Rashi explained this in Perek Ches. He rounded off the even numbers. The Kalir, the Paitonim, they don't have to be precise. They're given some leeway. Poetic liberty. It sounds much nicer to say 7 times 6 than to say 45. Poetry. So you don't have to take into consideration the additional 3 years. V'yischasem, what does he say there? He says there, these are those words of the piyut. V'yischasem, ehem, he will conceal himself from the Jewish people. Shivuayim shisha, 7 times 6. Shivuayim means weeks, means a week of years. Shisha, 642, that's the round number, plus an additional 3 years to come up to the precise number of 1335, which is 45. I'm at the Pasuk Yud Gimel now. So that concludes. I'll read you the Medrash. I really told you yes, I don't have to go over it, but the Medrash basically says that the source for this is a Bamidbar Rabbah. Bamidbar Rabbah says this, that this comes from Moshe Rabbeinu. Moshe Rabbeinu also disappeared for 3 months. Vayifku'u es Moshe v'yesaron. And then he came back. He brings on in Shemos, Parakei, Pasukov, he disappeared for 3 months. So just like he disappeared for 3 months, so too the Goel Achon will disappear for 45 years. Asher Amechaka, we use Rabbi Berechi, B'Shem Rabbi Levi, Omar, Ki Goel Horishoin, Kach Goel Ho'acharoin. Ha Goel Horishoin Zem Moshe, Shenigla Lohem, V'chozav Nischasimehem. And then the Medrash is Kama Nich. Saw mehem, Rabbi Tanchuma Omar, Shalosha Chodoshim, 3 months. And then it goes on to say, Af HaGoyelo Acharoin, Nigdilohem, V'choyzev Nischasa mehem, Kama Yehe Nichsa mehem, how long? Om Rabbi Tanchuma, B'Shem Rabbi Choma, Bar Rabbi Hoshaya, Arboim V'chamisha Yomim, 45. Well, here it says Yomim. That would be interesting because if you learn that it means yomim, like they approach days, which some take that approach, everything that's over here is days, 1,290 days. To 1,335 days, and we don't know what this means anyway, that's what Rashi makes it very clear, then the Goyal Acharon will be exactly half of Moshe Rabbeinu. Then there's some logic to it. If you learn, like Rashi, so Moshe was Nischase for how long? For 3 months. The Goel Achron, 45 years. What's the relation between 3 months and 45 years? Beats me. But if you want to learn that it means 3 months, and now you want to learn 45 days, 45 days is exactly half of 3 months. 90 days, half of 90 days is 45 days. So then, Okay, there's some logic. The gula hasida will be easier. It will be half. The process of the gula hasida will be half as difficult than the process of the first school. We already practice. When you do something a second time, it's always easier the second time around. So there is some logic to it. You learn with that approach.
Anyway, the reason the Medrash is saying this is because, just like all the other events involving the Golas and Geula of Mitzrayim, parallel our Golas and Geula, so this aspect of it is
also going to power, right.
But as far as your learning curve, ours has been a lot longer than theirs.
It's been the Golas has been a lot longer, a lot more difficult. But the Geula, okay. But it's an interesting idea. We have very good excuse. We don't have to know what this means. As it says here that Mitzvah said, if Daniel did not know, how are we going to know? Yeah.
Is it an accident that why in good hours and good days Rashi uses the term Mishichenu, our Mishich?
As opposed to, that's a very interesting point. I don't know the answer. I don't know. I mentioned many times that it appears a lot of the Rashi's towards the end of Danila are very difficult. It appears that, and some of the Parshim say this, that's been censored. Things Rashi wrote have been manipulated, and that's an interesting point. You find such an expression Rashi elsewhere in other parts of Tanakh, where he says Mishichenu, our Mashiach. I don't know. It's an interesting point. Yeah.
Reverse censorship. I mean,
yes. So what does it mean? It means they removed it, so we put it back in, and when they put it back in, I don't know what it means. Good point.
Okay. You're right, but he had a Jewish guy do the words and so on, and he became a Meshumet.
Uh-huh.
And so the next copies, they already didn't want to use him. In fact, they put his name all the way in the back, and they were redone. So this guy
manipulated the Rashis. Okay, we don't know. Okay, now we come to the last pasuk, Vyata. And now the Malach Gavriel says to the Melech Liketz, scary pasuk. He's telling him you will die. Liketz here means to your end. V'sanuach and rest. You rest with the tzadikim. V'samod, but you will merit tchias hamesim. Ligoy rolcha, your lot, your portion. A girl, even though girl means it means like a lottery. It means which only a mazel, but it has a connotation that you did not earn it. It's something which happened by chance, but that's not the way. It's not what it means. It means what is meant for you based upon your. That's the difficulty with the word. Lugorul means you just make you throw dice, so you cast lots, and whatever comes out. But there's no such thing. There's no such thing that when dealing with the world to come, you're dealing with chias hamesim. When a person comes back, he comes back to receive what he deserves. The gumul. Gumul stands in contrast to goyrol. Gorol means just haphazard. Gemul, your due, your reward or punishment. Yeah.
Maybe it means you're destined.
Okay, you're destined. It's a term which is not to be taken literally. Obviously, it means ligorolcha, your lot, your destiny. When you wake up, when will you wake up? Liketz hayomin. Now we're going to go through the Rashi. So we'll learn now for the moment. Make believe the nun is a mem for the moment. We're going to do another interpretation as well. And therefore, you will arrive. You will wake up at the time of tchias hamesim. So there are many things to discuss in this part. But the first idea to discuss is that the Malach here is contrasting the person's personal kates with the kates of the world. I told you the story once. I love this story. Let me read the story with Eliyahu Hanavi. A person once went to a Rebbe. You heard the story. Went to the Rebbe and he told the Rebbe, I want to be married to Gilui Eliyahu. I'm chalishing to meet Eliyahu Hanavi. I want to meet him. So the Rebbe said, listen, you can't meet Eliyahu, not everyone. He kept him badgering the Rebbe. Okay, you'll meet Eliyahu. I want you to go to this village far, far, far away. Travel there, and you'll find them. So he gets on his horse and buggy, starts traveling. It takes him weeks to travel through the winter, and he stopped one middle of the night. One night, the horse, the wagon, the wheel breaks. and he's stuck there in the forest in the middle of the night. And from the distance, he sees a little teeny house. So he goes to the little house, and he bangs on the door in the middle of the winter. It's freezing cold. He bangs on the door, and he says, "I'm stuck here on the road. Can you help me? I'm stuck." "Yeah, of course. Come in." He comes in. He takes a little briefcase, and he has some food. He sees that the people there, they have nothing what to eat. And it was an almana with a girl. So he gives the almana some food, and he gives the child some food. He stays overnight. The next morning, she gives him what he needs, and he fixes his wagon, and he goes on his way. He goes to the village, and he stays there, and he's waiting for Mashiach to come. Nothing doing. Elio, he goes to this inn, Elio, this inn, that inn. Nothing doing. He waits, already weeks. He has to go back. He goes back. He goes back home. Comes back to the Rebbe. "Rebbe, you promised me, Gili Eliyahu. You promised me. I went. Great expense, great effort, great Yisurim. No Gili Eliyahu." The Rebbe said, "You met him. You met him, and you didn't even realize it. Go again. Go again, you'll meet him again. Go again." So he goes again, gets on his horse and buggy, and he travels again in the winter, and then he's passing. And this time the horse, he has a better horse and buggy. The wheel's not broken. But as he's passing that part of the forest, he sees that house, and he remembers, "Oh, I remember that almana. She was so good to me. Let me stop by. I remember they were so poor. Let me stop by and give them a matana." So he comes, and he goes, and he's passing, he stops. And as he's about to come into the door, he hears the daughter, this little child, say to the mother, "Mother, starving. There's nothing to eat. We're gonna starve to death." So she says, "Don't you remember? Eliyahu Hanavi came a moment before, and he gave us what? The very last moment. Don't worry. Eliyahu Hanavi will come again to give us food." And sure enough, he bangs on the door, and he gives them food. And then he realizes he was the Eliyahu Hanavi for this woman. So there's an Eliyahu Hanavi for Klal Yisrael, and there's an Eliyahu Hanavi for the Yochid. It's a beautiful story, half Limafeldiger story. And that's what this pasuk really says. The pasuk is exactly teaching. The pasuk over here is telling you in one pasuk, there's a double kates. There's a kates, a person's private kates, and then there's the kates for the world. Everyone needs geula. The geula comes in some shape or form. We don't even realize it. V'ata yudoni aleich l'kates. Over here he's showing him this vision. Look what's going on these last three parakim. Last three parakim, I'm going to show you world history. Very complicated world. I don't have to tell you. It's a very complicated world, what's going on out there, and going on over decades, centuries, and millenniums, what's taking place in this world. All to reach the Kates. And what does he say to Daniel, those parting words? Let me give you some parting words. Daniel, you also have a personal Kates. The Atah, you the Yochid. Forget about Klal Yisrael. Forget about the Umos HaOlam. Forget about the grand plan. You have to also at times focus on the Yochid. The Atah you Lech Lekates. Go to your find in your life. A person is an Olam Malay. A person is a private Kates. Find in your life your Kates. V'sonuach. And rest, have nuchas hanefesh, and then v'samod ligoyrolcha l'kates hayamin, which can be interpreted very loosely, homiletically, is your cage should fit into the perspective, into the bigger picture. Every yachid has to fit into the big picture of the cates of hayamim. Okay, well, yamin with a nun, but we're going to translate yamim of days. Of the big picture of the world picture. There's an article in Iron Magazine, a very interesting article where by Frankfurter, he's the editor of Iron Magazine, interviewed, I think his name is Glasser, is that his name? His name is, I forgot his first name. He's very big with ballet, with people at risk. People, not only children at risk, but he's a brilliant fellow, and he gives a lot of seminars. He's part of Eish HaTorah Eretz Yisrael, and he gives seminars all over the world, and he asked them to summarize all of his work, and he says, the summary is, there's something called Jewish and Jewish. Jewish is the klal. Jewish is the prat. Every person has to know his tafkid and how his tafkid fits into the bigger picture of part of Klal Yisrael. the emphasize certain groups in Klal Yisrael, they're too much into the Klal. Part of the Klal, everyone is just a clone of someone else. And then unfortunately by the Goyim, he says the Goyim, there's no such thing as Klal. Everyone is each man for himself. There's only the Yachid. That a healthy life is a proper balance somewhere in between of being Jewish, part of Klal Yisrael, part of the larger community, with Jewish, the Yochid, you, Y-O-U, the Yush, the Yochid. That he summarized, this whole article summarized his life work. That's exactly what it says here. That's what it says. The Atah, you, the Yochid. Every person has a tafkid, a goal, end of days, the game plan. What's the goal? What's the tafkid? Lech likates to your kates. And also, you have to realize, v'sanuach v'samar ligoy rolcha likates hayamim. Your kates also, your tafkid, your end also has to relate to the kates of the world, of the bigger picture, of being a Klal Yisrael, of the world at large. Okay, but the similar interpretation, I told you the Jewish first, actually, the similar interpretation means, Daniel, unfortunately, you, well, let's see in the Mitzudas. The Mitzudas summarizes, it's not very pleasant, similar interpretation, about them. Let's see the Mitzudas, the Yipas, Yigimel, Yatan, you, Lech, Lekeit, Svetzlan, Ve'eis, Yimlu, Yimecha, when your days will come to an end. There's a whole question, there's a question when he died. When did Daniel die? Did Daniel die during the time of the Purim miracle? Vayavai Hasoch, that Daniel was killed, according to one intermediary, was killed by Haman. That means that Purim, we paid a very heavy price for the miracle of Purim, the murder of Daniel. Daniel Ish Hamudos. The Gemara says Daniel is right to be Melech HaMashiach. The Gemara says that, I don't know, one of the Amoraim says, who is Mashiach? The Gemara, well, it depends. Is Mashiach going to come from the living, or will Mashiach come from the dead? If Mashiach will come from the living, it's going to be Rabbeinu HaKadosh, because at the time when this statement was made, Rabbeinu HaKadosh was still living. Rabbeinu HaKadosh is a descendant of Shevet Yehuda. He's right to be Mashiach. But if Mashiach is going to come from the dead, then the ideal candidate for Mashiach is Daniel. He'll be the Tchias HaNesim, and he will be Mashiach. So over here, the Hashem is here. The Malach is telling him the AC. But can you imagine? He was right to be Mashiach, and he was killed. He was killed by Haman during the time of the Purim miracle, when Haman saw that he was delivering messages between Mordechai and Esther. But we learned in the beginning, the very first pasuk of this Sefer, Daniel, that some learned, no, that he lived until Koresh, which means that he lived until Daryavesh ben Achashverosh. He lived the second. All of the leaders of Persia were called Koresh, which means that her son, the son of Esther, was also called Koresh, and that means that he lived past the miracle. He lived right during the tekufa of the actual building. He saw the binyan of the bay. I don't know if he actually made it to Bavel, Teret Yisrael. That's a dilemma, because he did not write Sefer Daniel. Some say he did. That's another discussion. Maybe we'll talk about in a later time. But something that he lived much later. He lived already into the time when the Bayis Sheni was built, which means 18 years later, at least 18 years later, or maybe even more, during the time of the Bayis Sheni. But here, the Tzudas David, it says, Ratzlan be'eis yimlu yomecha, telech lu, at the time when your days are filled, telech lebeis olamcha, you'll return to your world, ashehu keitz l'chol basar. Olam ha'emes is called the end of all flesh. Pasuk Yud Gimel in the Mitzudos. V'sham tenuach, and there you will rest. Im hatzadikim. So when it says in the pasuk sanuach, you will rest, it means you will lie down with the tzadikim. V'samod, and you will merit tchias hanesim. V'samod b'tchias, that's an amazing thing, because who is only, how many yechidim in Tanakh, if there are even any, that are guaranteed tchias hanesim. Hafle v'fela. V'zashem b'kdoishav lo yamin. Even the most holy Hashem does not have faith, they can lose it the last minute. And here he's guaranteed he's going to have Tchias HaMesim. V'sam b'tchia, l'kachas garolcha, hanitin l'chalkecha, that's given to your portion, achar ha-tchia, v'am b'loshim b'nei adam, hacholkim, and this expression, the Mitzvah is obviously disturbed, this expression, l'garolcha. L'garolcha is not an expression which you use in reference to Tchias HaMesim. Because the oil of Tchias HaMesim is the oil of Gemul. of reward, punishment and reward. Goyel has a connotation of lottery. So the Mitzudas apologizes for the pasuk. That's really what he's doing. V'yamar b'loshon b'nei adam. This is the way people speak. We borrow the word goyrolcha to refer to reward and punishment. It's a borrowed term. V'yamar b'loshon b'nei adam ha-cholkim who divide spoils or property al pi goyrol. L'keitz ha-yamin ratzolaymar hu-amidat b'tchia yul b'tchia sameisim v'l'kicha ha-goyrol tia b'sof ha-yamin. So the Mitzudas right away, without any apology, says that don't read the word yamin with a nun, read as if it's a mem, end of days. Let's see Rashi now. Rashi has two interpretations. Let's see. Lech l'keitz tipot de l'beis alam chasedim, you will go to your end, to your oilam emes, you will die, you actually die. L'go rolcha, l'kabel chalkecha imat tzadikim, l'keitz hayamin, k'moy b'acharis hayamin. Okay, like this is parasha. He also the agid lechem eiz shayiku lechem beachris hayamim with a mem. The ein lefarish hayamim do not translate yamim with a nun. Lashon yad hayamim hayamonis hayim on the right hand. Shumon, why? Because we have a tradition. There is a mesora shumoni b'mesoras hagadola. There's a mesoras b'shitas tevas hamiyuchadim b'nun zukufa. There are a group of words that end with a nun zukufa, which means an end nun. What we call a soif nun, or an end nun. Here it's called a nun zukufa. But soif teva hamishameshes b'mekay mem, and really is what?
Example of that is marbin b'simcha.
That's Aramaic.
Yeah.
Okay. Right. Okay. You're right. Okay. Okay.
Basically
okay. Correct. Okay. Okay.
So that last nun.
Okay. That's right. It's Aramaic. Okay. Okay. B'mekay mem. The last dichavo sehon, and there's none other. The only ones that are part of this group are those listed in the Mesora, and there are no other exceptions. Going v'alecha yichreun achadika. He gives different examples in the Mesora. Yakum ulo yamin v'chayin. He gives different examples. Kachlo chachitin yichordon ian limchais malchin leketz hayamin. And the part of the Mesora is this word over here, leketz hayamin. It's part of a group of words, a set, which is to be interpreted days. Now we should be aware that Rashi in the Sechta Pesachim, it's the premises, the Ayin Rashi Pesachim, Daf Nun Vav, the Ramas Lekeit Sayimin, the Ayin Rashi Sanhedrin, two different Rashis in Shas, where Rashi himself says, no, Yamin here means the right hand, which means that until the time of Geula, Hashem is holding back his right hand. Yamincha Hashem ne'edori ba'koach. Hashem's right hand is symbolic of revelation, of power, of redemption, of treating Klal Yisrael, of elevating Klal Yisrael. The right hand, Yamincha Hashem ne'edori ba'koach. So here, when it says that until the time of Mashiach, Hashem has withheld Golas. When there's Golas, I'm going to withhold my right hand. You're not going to see the glory of my right hand. There's going to be Hester upon the Anochi, Haster, Aster upon I. But when Mashiach comes, when the Kates comes, Hashem will restore his right hand. Once again, then it will be Yimincha Hashem Ne'edori Ba'koach is glorified with might. So, the Samu L'Goyrolcha, you will stand up for Tchias HaMesim, L'Kates at the end of Hayamin, the end at that time when Hashem's right hand will be restored to the world to punish the enemies and to give support and chizuk to Klal Yisrael. Yeah?
Where the phrase in Yigdal comes from.
What,
by the way, to answer the other
question. Our Mishichena, okay. So it can mean two things. Either Yamin or it can mean Yamin.
But if you're quoting the Pasuk,
you quote the Pasuk, you have to say Yamin with the Nun. Okay, so that also, it's also interesting, it says that the meal was guaranteed. We don't know what this means, a more Kabbalistic interpretation. It was guaranteed that he's not going to have to come back to this world. Gilgul Neshamos. We don't know what this means. It's another bracha he was given. And there's something called the people who have to come back to this world multiple times to fulfill their mission. The deal was promised. V'yata lech l'keitz v'sanuach. You can go to Olam or you can rest. You're done. You're done here. You don't have to come back multiple times, recycled until the coming of Mashiach. Mission accomplished. Because Alpi Kabbalah, many people in some shape or form, we don't know what this means, come back multiple times. Okay, let me just read the Medrash. One last Medrash over here, and we'll tie up one other last thing. The Ato Lech Leketz V'Snuch V'Snuch L'Goyroch Leketz Amin. So what exactly does this pasuk? There are a lot of funny words in this pasuk, and the Medrash says as follows. L'Besoif Gila Oysel Daniel Hadu L'Suvi Ato Lech Leketz Amaloi. Daniel said to the Malach, Litein Din V'Cheshben Im Hu Hoylech, you're telling me I should go. V'Ato Lech Leketz. So he asked him, am I going to give din v'cheshbon? Amalai kadosh baruch hu v'sanu achno. You're not going l'menucha ato holech v'lo l'genem. Daniel was afraid, maybe I'm going to go to Gehenim. V'kadosh v'lo yam, it says in the Medrash, Hashem said to v'ato lech l'keitz. Daniel, you have to now leave this world when your time comes. Ach ameh v'yashem. So we have to add words. The Medrash is adding words into the pasuk to explain every single word of the pasuk. It was a conversation taking place here in code. Daniel says, what's going to happen to me when I go to Olam HaMes? Am I going to suffer? So Hashem says, no, v'sanuach. Do not worry, Daniel. You will rest in peace. Amaloi, Daniel, v'hanoch l'olam. Am I going to rest in peace forever? The action is here, not in Olam HaMes. So Hashem said to him, Amaloi, Hashem said, no, don't worry, it's only temporary. You'll go to Olam HaMes just for rest. The next word of the Pasuk, the Samoit. I'm reading Pasuk Gimel. Don't worry, Yud Gimel, the last Pasuk. Don't worry, the Samoit, it won't be forever. You will merit Tchiyas Samesim. He wasn't happy, Daniel, he's still not satisfied. Amaloi. So Hashem said to him, Amaloi, Daniel said, in me, when I come back to this world, you know, there's going to be a lot of people on this world. We know, we learned before that some people are going to come back to this world to suffer. Because in Gehenna, we learned, can't give a full degree, a measure of suffering. Sometimes I have to come back. Im ha-tzadikim oy im ha-reshom, will I come back to this world to be together with the tzadikim or reshom in this world? Amaloi li-goyrolcha, which means together, your goyrol, which has a positive connotation according to the Medrash, it means you'll come back to this world to be with tzadikim, im ha-tzadikim. Amaloi Daniel, Daniel was not satisfied. And that is a second Tchiyas HaNesim. The Achris, I'm not reading from the text. I'm reading from Medrash. You don't have it in front of you. Just listen. The Achris Hayamim, or the Achris Hayamin. So he said to him, well, there's going to be a double Tchiyas HaNesim. We do find such a concept. Okay, this is a mystical concept. There's a double Tchiyas HaNesim. There's a Tchiyas HaNesim before the ultimate Tchiyas HaNesim. So he's questioning Kadosh Baruch Hu, when you promise me that I'm going to merit Tchiyas HaMesim, is this going to be the first Tchiyas HaMesim or the second Tchiyas HaMesim? The first Tchiyas HaMesim is only temporary. The second Tchiyas HaMesim is a much more spiritual, permanent Tchiyas HaMesim. Amaloi, Hashem said to him, don't worry, you're going to merit the second Tchiyas HaMesim. Leketz HaYomin. Oysa Yomin Shehi Mishubedes, which means the ultimate for... That's what it says by David. Leman yecholtzun yididecha hoshia yemincha v'aneini. We ask HaKadosh Baruch Hu that in order that your beloved one shall be yecholtzun, shall be freed from pain and suffering. Hashem hoshia yemincha, may your right hand save us. That's what it means in this pasuk. Leketz hayomin, where we may we merit the ketz of the yomin, which means the kates when Hashem's right hand will be revealed, not the earlier kates, that also, but not the only the earlier kates, which Hashem's right hand will not necessarily be revealed. It's a different type of Tchiyas HaMesim. So to review, what the Medrash is saying is, there's a conversation taking place, a beautiful Medrash, because it's a conversation, and each word represents one segment of the conversation. The Malach, Hashem says to Daniel, a person has to leave this world. The atol lech leketz. Leave this world. A person has to leave this world when his time comes, when the end comes, after 120 years. Lech leketz. Daniel says, what's going to happen to me? Am I going to suffer in the next world? No, Hashem says, v'sonuach, you'll be at peace. Daniel says, am I going to be there forever? In the Olam HaMes, I want to come back to this world. Hashem says, don't worry, v'samot, you will come back once again. Daniel says, but when I come back the next time, will I suffer? Hashem says, no, Ligorolcha, when you come back the next time, it will be together with other tzaddikim. Daniel then says, but when you tell me that I will come back, will I come back for the kates, for the ultimate gula, ultimate Tchiyas HaNesim, or only a preliminary Tchiyas HaNesim, Hashem says, you will merit the ultimate reward of Likates Hayamin. Okay, that's a very interesting way to conclude. Hashia, Yemincha, Va'aneni, we ask Hashem for this, Kates Hayamin. Let me just tell you one last Nakuda before we conclude, is that Daniel, the beginning of Sefer Daniel begins with Nebuchadnezzar selecting the wisest and the best of the children of Eretz Yisrael during the time of the Gula, the Golos of Yehochanya. And it says, in the beginning of the Sefer, he found men asher ein bohem mum. Let me read you the words of the Pasuk. He told him, get for me some men, some good men, the very beginning of Sefer Daniel, Daniel Aleph, the first time we come in contact with Daniel in the Zizir Yeladim. Children, Daniel, Perek, Aleph, don't worry, you don't need the pause, just listen. Yeladim asher ein bohem kol mum, this noble amish, retovi mar, beautiful of appearance, umaskilim, wise, bechol chochma, v'yoidei das, umivine mada, they know das, umivine mada, v'asher koyach bohem lamod behichal hamelech, ulalamdam sefer ulashoin kastim. Unbelievable. And who are these men? Vayhi vohem ibnei Yehuda, Daniel, Hananiah, Mishael, and Azariah. So the beginning of Sefer Daniel, is described as a maskil, in the negative sense, as a maskil, as a chocham, yodei vina, the most beautiful expressions describing wisdom. And in fact, we have that, Chazal tell us that Daniel, relative to Chagai, Zechariah, Malachi, was a chocham. Chagai, Zechariah, Malachi, were the last of the Nevi'im. Daniel was not a Navi. He was a Chocham. And the Chocham here is described when we are first introduced, we describe him with the most beautiful expressions of Chocham. And how does Sefer Daniel end? He complains to the Malach, I don't understand anything. Lo Yavin, I don't understand what you're showing me over here things. Here, Vani Shamati, Daniel concludes his last words of the Sefer are, Vani Shamati, I hear what you're saying in heaven, Velo Yavin, I don't understand what's going on. Those are his last words. Sefer Daniel. What's the deeper meaning? The Rambam. Tachlis hayidia, the purpose, the goal of knowledge, Shaneda, is that we should know Shaloi Neda, that we know nothing.
The more you know, the less.
What pasuk are you reading from?
I'm not reading from any pasuk. Tachlis hayidia Shaneda Shaloi Neda. Daniel in Tanakh and Chazal is described as being from the old Chachamim. Shlomo HaMelech also. But Tachlis HaYedia Shneida, you see that in the progression from the beginning of Sefer Daniel to the end of Sefer Daniel. He knew how to interpret the dreams of the Nebuchadnezzar, Belshazzar. But when it comes to Kodesh Baruch Hu, it's Tachlis HaYedia Shneida Shaloi Neida. Okay, this is a very great accomplishment. Mir Hashem will save the scene for what we'll learn as a set, Ezra and Nehemiah. Perhaps there are a few other little things I want to go over tomorrow to sum up the types of loose ends tomorrow before we go on to Ezra. But pretty much this concludes Sefer Daniel. So a hearty mazel tov to you all.